Isn't this a sports show?
We're going to talk about the Chiefs in 2 seconds. Damn it. I did not mean to start here for this long.
Almost entirely.
I would love for Alex Smith to just punch a ref in the face.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe, the fourth best sports talk radio personality in Kansas City.
I'm so confused. The comment section is moving so fast. Why are people trying to buy a couch here?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Stop commenting!
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
And as always, if you would like to tell me to stick my head in an oven, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe or comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Very important, again, that we go ahead and get in here at the front and put into concrete that I am the fourth best radio show host in Kansas City, according to one guy with a blog. So, I mean, the highest honor you can possibly get. Just missing the medal stand, according to one very specific blog ranking. But again, I did already, though, and Beards, I haven't even told you about this yet. I'm assuming you noticed that this weekend I got fourth best. I had to spell fourth, just F-O-R-T. I ran out of knuckles, but it's across my knuckles. Fourth best right here, right across these eight fingers. And then on the knuckles below, it says in very small font, according to some guy with a blog. That's probably not going to age as well as fourth best. No, it's not one letter on each knuckle there.
I was trying to put two on each, but that's still not enough. You might have had to go three. Three letters per knuckle.
Oh, man, I should have gone. I should have gone.
Let's see here.
I really could have. I could have saved some.
A-C-C-I-N-G-T-O-S-O-M-E-G-U-Y.
Please stop spelling letters into the microphone.
That's still not enough. You need four.
What I should have done, now I'm having some real regret, is I should have just gotten I'm number four on one hand, and then I had a whole other hand of knuckle space to do something else with.
Oh, by the way, we already have a comment.
Sure.
We have a couple, actually, already.
You can always watch the show on Facebook, ESPN Kansas City's Facebook page.
Juan has said, I hope we don't talk about the Pats today. I will personally deliver a six-pack of your choice if we don't mention the Pats. So how much of the show prep are you throwing out now?
Well, a six-pack of my choice. Do they make six packs of cocaine? Could I get a variety pack?
Coco Loco?
Right, can I get a six-pack of Coco Loco shipped to my door, please? We're going to talk about the Patriots in some regard, just probably not like anybody else's, though, so you can rest in that knowledge. We're going to start with the Chiefs, though, actually, because the Chiefs have done a thing, again, that is just so painful. And at this show, at its core, this show is nonsense and then Chiefs. So if there's an opportunity to start with one of those, we're going to start with one of those things. Today we're starting with the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs have established themselves as a dynasty. What, you may say? They have...
What?
Thank you. They have one playoff win in your lifetime. Also one playoff win in the Andy Reid era here. What do you mean they are a dynasty? The Chiefs are dynastic. The Chiefs are a regular season dynasty. How? Why? You may ask. Really expected Beards to hop in there with a why, how, but he wasn't listening.
I made new liners. I'm trying to find them.
Get out. The Chiefs started their season by beating the two eventual Super Bowl teams. That's how they started their season. And they do this all the time. This is the fourth consecutive year that the Chiefs have beaten at least one of the Super Bowl teams. Four in a row. This year, it's both of them. Patriots and Eagles, in case you weren't sure who won those games yesterday.
Fake Super Bowl.
What?
Fake Super Bowl.
Why?
Because you remember how everybody was making a big mess over the national championship game? And everybody thought...
UCF, right,
UCF,
sure.
Yeah, we're almost them.
Get out of here, Beards. I was mid-sentence. You interrupted me whenever I laid down a comma.
Also, apparently we're going to have some Capri Sun delivered now.
All right, hell yeah. I'll take it. So if Beards doesn't mind. What?
I was going to wait for you to start talking.
I'm going
to
be mad at you all week. Let me get through my first planned topic. Good God. This is the fourth straight year that the Chiefs have beaten at least one of the teams in the Super Bowl. This year, Patriots-Eagles. Last year, Chiefs beat the Falcons. Year before that, Chiefs beat the Broncos. Year before that, they beat the Seahawks and the Patriots. The Chiefs are a regular season dynasty that just eats postseason failure for breakfast. Also, now Nick Foles and Doug Peterson are headed to a Super Bowl. Nick Foles and Doug Peterson have won more Super Bowl games, or one more playoff games, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. They've won more playoff games than Alex Smith and Andy Reid have. And Nick Foles has only had, what now, like three games with the Eagles? More than that, I guess. Maybe four or five. I can't remember exactly when Wentz got hurt. Also, Nick Foles, who the Chiefs declined the option on last year, who looked like an MVP last night, just out of nowhere. By the way, I don't have terrible, like, seller's remorse on Nick Foles. It just adds to the hurt. And the Chiefs offensive coordinator who left 2 years ago. Those are the two guys playing against the Patriots for a Super Bowl. Those are the two guys that have risen out of a completely insane NFC this year. Former Chiefs quarterback Nick Foles and former Chiefs offensive coordinator Doug Peterson. So you know what this means. The Browns are going to go to a Super Bowl 2 years from now. Why, you may ask? Is this about John Dorsey? No,
why?
Not. Thanks, Beards. Thank you. You're 2 for 3. Is this about John Dorsey? No, it's not. Not really. A little bit, perhaps. John Dorsey is the new GM of the Cleveland Browns. But there is a report that is just 15 minutes old that the Browns are very close to finalizing a deal with Todd Haley. You heard me. He's going to join a coaching staff that has won one game in the last two seasons. But he will join on as the offensive coordinator. And now the Browns just have one more move to go. You bring in a former Chiefs offensive coordinator, former Chiefs general manager, bring in a former Chiefs quarterback. Welcome to the stage, Alex Smith. Hello, Alex. I hope you enjoy your stay in Cleveland with Todd Haley and John Dorsey. You guys are going to go to a Super Bowl. At least get to an AFC Championship game and then lose to the Patriots. It might be more about the Patriots than the Super Bowl itself, but they will get all the way to the Patriots. It's a law now. If you pick up Chiefs cast-offs, and I think I just called Haley a former Chiefs offensive coordinator, former Chiefs head coach as offensive coordinator. It's a little bit backwards from the Doug Peterson thing, but I think it's going to work just fine. It is now written into the bylaws of the NFL. If you bring in enough Chiefs cast-offs, they will go farther than the Chiefs themselves do. It's written in the stars at this point. Galileo discovered this, but he just had no idea what it meant at the time. This is the tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. Chiefs losing before their cast-offs in the playoffs. Might need to tighten up the lyrics on that one a little
bit.
Yeah,
that was a little...
It was a little wordy.
Not great. Oh, well, rewrites.
Yeah. It's a first draft. I'm just freestyling off the top of the dome here. Tell him, Sway. I mean, the Cleveland Browns are going to be like the slightly northeastern Chiefs. Not northeastern as in, you know, compared to, like, you know, Philadelphia. But they're slightly northeast of here.
More north than east?
I have friends. Well, yeah, I have a friend that lives in Ohio, and I feel like he said that it was actually closer to a straight shot east than you would have expected.
Okay.
But let's go ahead and do Kansas City. I'm on Google Maps right now. Kansas City to Cleveland. Your microphone is letting in so much of that bad, bad sound. Can you just turn off your microphone when you're not talking? Thank you. Good Lord. Yeah, it's certainly more east than north. Wacky. Seriously, like, it is both north and east, but it's... See? I'm showing beards now on my computer.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Learn something new every day here. Cleveland's mostly just east of here.
Last week it was that the Trojan horse wasn't a real thing. This week it's Cleveland's more east than north.
Yeah. I think at this point we can almost get funding from, like, PBS because this is technically an educational program. By the way, I have a theory that I need people to help me test. But I went over to my parents' house to watch the playoff games yesterday. I don't have cable, and I didn't want to try to stream it online. I want to just, you know, sit in the living room, eat the free food that my mom makes. Instead of, you know, going to ramen town. But after the game was over, my mom changed it to PBS because there was some Victorian era show on. Whatever, it's fine. It wasn't Downton Abbey, but it might as well have been, as far as I was concerned. Here's my theory, though. I think that, and there's a little bit of a watch, I know this isn't purely scientific, it's a little bit of a watch pot, never boils kind of thing here. Maybe I can call it, like, isn't it Schrodinger's cat? Is that close to an accurate pronunciation?
There is a Schrodinger's cat, yes.
Right. I think there's a Schrodinger's PBS thing, maybe call it Schrodinger's childbirth. I'll explain.
Because I'm intrigued.
I believe that if you turn to PBS after 8 p.m. on any given night, you are within 30 seconds of seeing a woman in childbirth. This is a theory that I developed last night because my mother turned it to PBS for this Victorian era show. And then 15 seconds later, there was some doctor coming out with some big old, like, plier-looking things and a woman screaming in pain. And then some man walks out of the room and announces to his cabinet or whatever, we have a new prince of somewhere.
I'm no expert, but I feel like pliers aren't necessarily a good thing to have during
childbirth. They were tongs. They were tongs to grab to get the baby out. It was the Victorian age. Beards, they didn't know, I guess. I don't know. I just remembered that as a vivid picture in my mind.
Quick, pass me the monkey wrench.
No, he wasn't changing a tire. He was birthing a baby.
Where's that hammer at?
No. Larger point being that I think at any given moment before you turn to PBS, I don't know if the programming is going to schedule a childbirth showing up on your screen. But the first time you turn to PBS after 8 p.m. on any given night, you're going to see a child be born within 30 seconds. I've yet to have this proven wrong since I've developed this theory. All right, let's talk about the games from yesterday. I'm not going to read you stat lines or anything. I'm going to tell you my emotions. In fact, let's go and get this out of the way. So the Patriots beat the Jags. I don't even want to do this. I don't even want to pretend to have a very serious NFL conversation. I just kind of want to talk about my anger towards Blake Bortles. The Patriots end up with a comeback win over the Jags that nobody saw coming, am I right? And I wanted to root for the Jaguars so badly, but I couldn't bring myself to be as on board with them as I wanted to be, to tie my emotions up in their success, because I knew that eventually my hopes and my dreams and my rooting interests would be a fragile crystal cup thrown against a concrete floor by Tom Brady. because that fragile crystal cup is Blake Bortles. Like, there was never a doubt that eventually the Jags offense was going to show how scared it was. The Patriots would be less scared. And unless the Jaguars forced a couple of turnovers, maybe even a defensive score, the Jags were not going to make it happen. Because they didn't trust Blake Bortles. And you could say, oh, he doesn't throw interceptions or whatever. And you would be technically correct about his last couple of games. The reason he doesn't throw interceptions is because he doesn't throw. He had, like, I think two passes yesterday. I remember the ball went more than, 10 or 15 yards in the air, and it was like he had thrown a legitimate bomb. I don't mean a bomb as in a 40-yard pass. I mean, it was the moment was as emotionally impactful as if he would have literally lit the fuse on a cartoonish bomb and then thrown it 15 yards downfield. It was that monumentous of an occasion. It was like, oh, this is something we haven't seen in the history of the NFL. A lit bomb being thrown downfield / Blake Bortles throwing it 15 yards in the air. He is an infuriating quarterback to watch, and he makes the Jags offense infuriating to watch because he just waits. The offensive line gives him 45 minutes, and then he checks it down to the fullback, or TJ Yeldon, and they scoot for 15 yards, and everyone's like, oh, Blake Bortles. Look how poised Blake Bortles is. Yesterday, I wrote a little script, and I'll end up posting a link to the video whenever it goes up. But I wrote a thing about Blake Bortles that invoiced it, and I think it's pretty funny, so I'll share it later. But we might even, whenever it gets published, we might even just play it here. I don't know. But this is a specific part of it that it speaks very emotionally to me. It came out of sometimes they say the greatest art is born out of hurt, and that's where I was. I even said some things I didn't mean in this script. Very hurtful things that were said out of anger. Blake Bortles, though, wasn't something that I wrote already. Blake Bortles wasn't poised. He was nothing. Which is, in fairness, probably worthy of praise whenever you are Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles was effectively zero against the Patriots, which gave the Jaguars a chance because the rest of their team is that good. But it hurts me in my soul to watch Blake Bortles get praised for being nothing. Because if they had Alex Smith, that team is completely different. If they just have a quarterback that they allow to make some attempts at throwing a football more than 5 yards downfield, just a little faith in their quarterback, that offense looks so different. You know, I mean, really, you remember how angry we were about Alex Smith in that 3-game stretch against those New York teams? That was Blake Bortles. That version of Alex Smith was more or less Blake Bortles, but behind a worse offensive line. 2017 Alex Smith in Jacksonville probably wins a Super Bowl. Now, if you actually put Alex Smith on that team next year, something terrible will happen. He will not win the Super Bowl because it's, you know, he's cursed. But if you could just sort of retroactively place him on that team this season, I think they're playing still. And that's why I don't actually want Blake Bortles, you know, to cease existing. But the reason that he makes me so mad isn't really him. It's the discussions about him. Like, it's become such a low bar to clear. We did this with Alex Smith for a little while. Not on this level. With this scale of ineptitude. This is reserved specifically for Blake Bortles. But whenever you praise a quarterback for going through his progressions, I just want to scream. Because you're praising him for literally, like, one of the building blocks of being an NFL quarterback. It drives me mad. The Patriots were fine. The Patriots weren't terrifying. It just, you knew at the end they were going to come back and win, which is why I would expect them right now to beat the Eagles also. Now, if the Eagles get, look, we can pivot over now to Eagles-Vikings. That game stunk. That game was just not a whole lot of fun. I mean, the Eagles had the biggest win of yesterday by a huge margin. They had the best quarterback play of yesterday. Stunningly. With Nick Foles. And the Vikings just did absolutely nothing. It was wild. So can the Eagles pass rush bother Tom Brady? Sure. Can Nick Foles pull like that again? Maybe. But just every time you see Tom Brady do the exact same thing. Also, he had that comeback against the Jags without Rob Gronkowski. He did it without him. Which should immediately bring up terrible pangs of hurt for the fact that, you know, the Chiefs could not score without Travis Kelce. Just completely flat. My favorite thing that came from last night just popped up on TV in front of me. It's that video of a guy in an Eagles jersey sprinting beside a train car or something underground, a subway car. And he's just sprinting after the car for some reason. And then a pole shows up. And then he plows into this giant cement pole and goes flying back as the car continues soldiering on.
It wasn't even like just a tiny little pole. It was like a column.
Right, a big cement column. And it just wipes him out. And it's just the funniest thing you could ever see. It's cartoonishly funny.
That's what it's like something you'd see in a TV show.
Yes.
That would never happen.
Yes.
But there it is.
Not even just like a TV show. Like Tom and Jerry.
Oh, totally.
It is a Tom and Jerry. Or Wile E. Coyote. It's Wile E. Coyote.
Either one of those works.
He is chasing after the Roadrunner.
Or Three Stooges.
Also pretty good. Wile E. Coyote thing is my favorite because he's just chasing after the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner knows that if he just keeps sprinting and then but he goes past this cactus, then Wile E. Coyote is going to face first consume this cacti. These cacti. And that's what happened here, but it was an actual person. It was caught on video because 2018 is simultaneously the best and worst that humanity has ever been. That part makes it the best. Because we all got to see that happen. It's truly magical. Also, a Patriots Eagles Super Bowl is going to be super annoying.
The Eagles, I just saw it on the TV. The Eagles are the biggest dog since 2009.
Huh. What's the line? Isn't it like 6.5?
I don't know.
I think I saw the last. It was like 6.5.
Why don't I look?
Go for it. I mean, their quarterback is Nick Foles, so I get it. I wouldn't want to bet on that game. I would take the Patriots money line, I guess, if I had to. I don't know.
As of right now, from the Score app, mm-hmm. New England is a 5-point favorite.
There is no way that 5 is the most lopsided line, though, since
or they might be getting their info from a different place.
Regardless, that's interesting. That makes it a little more tempting, I guess. I mean, the game will be fun because, again, one of the things that can actually rattle Tom Brady is whenever a defense can get pressure with four pass rushers. That will make it interesting. And the version of Nick Foles that we saw last night against a very good Vikings defense, a much better defense than the Patriots, mind you, that would create a very interesting Super Bowl. I'm not prepared for 2 weeks of Patriots-Eagles breakdown, I don't think. Like, I don't really care about Lane Johnson. I don't really care about all the great stats about Tom Brady.
Hey, at least we have the Pro Bowl coming up this week. That was close.
What was close?
You right there.
Oh, no, I was going, oof-ah, like a... It just is a sound of exasperation.
I already had to hit the dump button down there once this week. I don't want to have to hit it twice.
When did you hit the dump? Oh, you okay? Yeah, tell that story briefly. I mean, it's not really a story, but it's a fun it's a fun sentence.
So post game after the Jags and Patriots game, they got the sideline interview with Tom Brady, and little Tommy boy there decided that was a great time to use the F word.
I'm surprised that made it to you. I'm surprised that Westwood One doesn't have a dump button.
I think we just get their stuff live.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think I've had to hit the dump button for them a couple times.
Interesting. I would assume that they would have some sort of dump button.
But it just hit me, and I was like, wait a second. Tom cursed. Oh, no, I have like 5 more seconds to hit the button.
Yeah, and you did it with, I'm guessing, like 3 seconds to spare, if not more.
It scared me for a second, though, because as I hit the dump button, it didn't like the lights didn't go away instantly. And it's like, oh no. But I think it's good. Nobody said anything to me yet.
Good. My one dump button story was back from whenever I was, not the one story, but the worst one. When I was getting up at, 4:45 to come in here and run the 6 a.m. Outdoor Guys show on Saturday mornings. There was one day they had a guest on, and he said something bad, so I dumped it. And then, like, 2 minutes later, he did it again. And then, like, 2 minutes later, he did it again. I think he ended up cursing 3 or 4 times. And eventually I hit the talkback button. I was like, hey, can you guys tell him, please, stop cursing? And eventually they were like, hey, can you not curse? We're live, and this is normal radio. And I was like, oh! He was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even know. And then, so we went on 2 more minutes, and then he did it again!
I was really hoping he went, oh, bleep, I'm sorry.
He might have, honestly. Seriously, that may have happened. I don't remember. I blacked out. I just kept hitting the dump button and then, like, speeding up the time to give us the delay again. It was a disaster.
I remember one of the other times I've had to hit the dump button was during, it was like a pregame or pre-week show we did during the New England Chiefs game, and a fan called in, and he wanted to like impersonate a New England fan.
Uh-huh.
And he said one of the words you can't say on radio.
Uh-huh.
So I just had to go, oh, dang it.
She said, oh, dump. Bleep, dump. Cody on Sports Night on Wednesday, we were just talking, and we had a very, it was a very casual conversation, kind of like this one, where you get comfortable in your conversation and everything, and Cody got 2.5 letters at least into a 4-letter word that you can't say. He basically just didn't hit the dismount on it, and Charlie did not dump it, which I would have dumped it. It was
Dangerously close.
It was, close enough. Also, though, it's super dumb that we're like the FCC rules for this are actually like it's pretty silly.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like at this point, I think there are seriously only 2 words that you definitely can't say on radio. I've heard a couple other stations, like, not that I listen to any stations other than this one, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and occasionally Sports Radio 810 WHB. But I've heard stories of other stations getting by with a few others. Well, no, not just 2, I guess. 4. But there's some wiggle room. God, this show would have been so much better if the Chiefs were playing yesterday.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Let's go to the comments. Let's all go to the comments. I can't see the comments. Beards, what does it say?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Gonna go to the comments, like the liner just said. Cha! And I can't actually see them today. There's a problem with me picking all the liner music. Like, Beards chooses what songs play at each break, but I load them all up going into, every couple of months I'll add, like, 15 songs, whatever. The problem by doing that is if it's a song like this that is just exceedingly catchy, it interrupts my train of thought, and I just kind of want to go, and I just kind of want to dance around a little bit and sing the freaking song. More than just a dream. Okay. Thank you, Beards. we are going to go to the comments. So, as always, you can watch the show on Facebook on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City, or just search for the just search ESPN Kansas City in Facebook. It is the place to go. It's even easier than Twitter for us to see what's going on. And then Beards tells me and every other stuff there. A few things of note here. First of all, this is going to be something that rolls into later on this week. And also, Charlie just walked into the control room. So, Charlie, listen up. This is my idea that I've given you. I gave you guys a hint about. Ty says, Josh, if you had ketchup chips before, slash, if I sent some, would you eat some on air? I have had ketchup chips. They are a unique kind of repulsive. They're really, it's not good. And it's not like, if you dipped a potato chip into ketchup, which I've done just for kicks, it's fine. It's basically a crispy French fry. The flavoring that goes into tomato ketchup flavored chips, not good. Beards and Charlie, though, are both looking disgusted, and I'm assuming neither of you guys have had, neither of them have had them before. So I guess if you
sent
some, if you sent some, they would both eat them, though, yes?
I mean, like, how big of a raise do I need to get? That's the question.
0 cents. Eat a chip.
That's good. No.
Do it for the show.
No.
All right, get out of here.
But selfish.
Here's what this lines up with perfectly, though. So last Christmas, I think, my birthday and Christmas are side by side, so I don't get to, Renee doesn't get to take this one personally. But Renee got me a big box of weird Japanese candy and snacks and stuff. Well, I've had them for like a year because my thought is the funniest way I could do this would be to do it in a video with my little sister because she'll make weird faces and say funny things or whatever. But I can't turn that into hashtag content, which is where my life is exists now.
I mean, you could. You could bring her in for the show just for
that
purpose.
I am going to bring her in at some point this in spring. I think spring because my parents are going out of town, so I'm staying at my parents' house to keep an eye on her and my brother. And my mom was like, could you, like, she has, like, no school that day or something. She's like, can you take Chloe and just have her, like, sit in the studio and, like, color or something during the show? And so,
that'll
yes,
be a great visual for
it's
the Facebook.
It's going to be so good. We'll just sit her in view of the Facebook camera, and she'll just color pictures. You know what? I'll have her, like, draw you guys or something.
She draws devil horns on Josh.
She'll draw devil horns on me, and she will ruin her red crayon trying to do a picture of Charlie. Anyway, my thought, though, I had two thoughts, and also I'm willing to take input on this. You can tweet me, JB Briscoe, Facebook, if you're watching live, whatever. I think I have these treats in my car currently. I think we could either leave them in the studio and just whenever the show just hits a lull and we need to do something different with our time, whoop, let's go ahead and open up one of these cabinets. Let's try this Japanese food. Or we do sort of a pre-show on Wednesday, and this is what I'm leaning towards now. We do a pre-show on Wednesdays where the three of us come into the studio, we set up the cameras at a better angle than this, and the three of us just break open three different Japanese snacks out of this box, and it's kind of like a Facebook live streamed pre-show meeting where we taste foods that are unknowable and maybe tangentially talk a little bit about what the show's going to be or other sports things going on. Does this? Charlie's looking at his phone, so I'm not sure he would. He said he's listening. Good idea. Thumbs up. I think it's a good idea. Like, it might be kind of gross, but it'll be fun. And if there's something gross, we all just have to eat it. Also, neither of you guys have any weird food allergies, right? Because I can't read the labels on this.
Of.
Okay, great. Well, if there is, if you're actually allergic to wasabi, we'll find out together. All right, I'm really, okay, well, we'll probably do that then Wednesday. We'll just, maybe around 3 or 3:15, we'll go live on Facebook and do that. Also, I realized as I was thinking about this that I think my actual dream is to have either a sports show on Food Network or a food show on a sports network because I think it would be so good. And I don't mean like we're out here cooking wings and talking sports and I mean like we're just at a desk kind of talking about sports with food in our mouths as we're eating weird candy from Japan. Like, that is, I think, the pinnacle of what I want to do with my life. And I figured that I learned that about myself today. There was a really great YouTube channel. I think all their content is still up. The channel doesn't add new stuff anymore, called Tasted, like the past tense of taste. And they used to do all sorts of weird food taste tests. And I loved those videos. It would just basically be doing that while mashed up with, so like on Wednesday it'll be, so Charlie, what do you think about that thing that you're eating that has both a fish and a bushel of grapes on the front? And then also, how did you react whenever Trae Young dropped 40 last night? Like, that's going to be what happens on Wednesday. And I think that show has potential, so I'm excited for that. Charlie is smiling and nodding. Beards is like gnawing on his headphone cord, so I'm going to assume that means Charlie likes the idea, and Beards loves the idea so much that he's literally hungry right now.
I need food.
I'm also, this is another thing that I thought of during the break. We've been doing this show for about 6 months now. Also, today's the 1 year anniversary of me doing live radio. I know this because it's the 1 year anniversary of Renata Ventura dying, so that's a really terrible way to know that. But I almost texted Charlie earlier and said, hey, Charlie, congratulations on the 1 year anniversary of us figuring out what the hell we do whenever a local athlete dies in a terrible, like, tragedy. Live on radio. So, happy anniversary, Charlie. We did that and didn't make a fool of ourselves. Where was I going with this? Oh, but we've been doing this show for, like, 6 months, right?
It's a very dangerous place to lose your train of thought.
No kidding. We've been doing this show for, like, 6 months. I still have not figured out when I need to eat. Because if I just eat at, like, you know, a late breakfast, early lunch, or if I have like a light lunch at like noon, like I did today, it right now is 4:45 and I am starving. Like, I could eat a cow.
I ate one about 1:30 today.
This might be it, but I'd have to flip my schedule. Cause also eating right before the show, getting like food and then coming here, bad move. Whenever Charlie and I thought you were dead, Beards, we'd gone to Qdoba right before the show, and so I did that whole show with a burrito baby in my stomach.
Well, see, that was just poor choice of food.
Well, it was too much.
Like, I got a sandwich today. I'm good. I'm fine.
But like 1:30 is fine. We were eating at like 3, and that doesn't work. So maybe I need to try to go that late lunch line.
Charlie says, "What about the day at Pegas? Basically, eating during the show."
That was actually great. So maybe that's it. It was just, I had
just
to
get catered food every day.
Yeah.
Food sponsor.
All right, let's get that. Can we make that happen, please?
Hey, Potbelly.
Beards has fallen in love with Potbelly, which I think is a sandwich shop.
Yeah. It's basically Quiznos.
Okay. I'm cool with that, man. Listen, though, if there's a food place that comes in here, I mean this. If there is a food place that wants to sponsor the show and cater to this show or whatever, I cannot think of a food place that I would not be on board with. I mean this. It could be a little, like, hipster vegan restaurant. And I'd be like, sweet, man, I could gnaw on some, like, you know,
kale.
Some lightly fried kale or something like that. Yeah, like, some blanched kale, sure. Or it could be any barbecue place.
I gotta say, I have one criticism with Potbelly, and I tweeted this at them.
Okay,
please. They don't have pepper jack cheese! Pepper jack cheese is good.
I mean, yeah. I don't think I would have been so upset that I would have tweeted about it or hit the desk.
It was just more, hey, I like your food, but why don't you have pepper jack? That was all. It wasn't complete
outrage.
Well,
I'm glad that you're being level-headed about this.
Thank you.
This absolute.
I only tweeted it at them 25 times.
Anyway, I have had ketchup chips, but Beers and Charlie have it. My mom has commented that we could do like a bizarre food sports show. This is exactly what I'm thinking. The tasted stuff was great. Bizarre foods with, I think it's Andrew Zimmern, I think is his last name. Have you guys seen that show? I've never seen that show. That show is so good. But he goes around, he tries the food, and he talks about like the culture or whatever. I want to do that, but talk about sports in the breaks between whenever my mouth is full of either delicious local food or horrifying local food. We go, oh, let's go talk about sports while we're in Philadelphia here. Oh, yum, yum cheesesteak. Also, we're having a fried rat from a sewer in Philadelphia. Fine. I want it prepared like a chef, not
fried
just like
dog mask.
Right, sure, perfect. Oh, also, I can tell you guys my Jags hat plan. The Blake Bortles is not going to win the Super Bowl, so I am not going to eat a Jacksonville Jaguars hat, which I was honestly like, kind of looking forward to because it would have been a very good stunt. I was going to get like a panini press. I was going to get a Jags hat and then like soak it in like a brine overnight. Give it a nice barbecue like brushing, season it really well, drop it in a panini press. It would have smelled so good that you would have wanted a taste. And then I would have had to have eaten it. And it would have been unpleasant. But I would have, I think I could have done some decent work with it. Also, if I was a, if I really wanted to do the easiest, like the path of least resistance, I would have gone like a crock pot and then just let it cook for like a week. And then I would just have Jag's hat soup and then just like two Velcro strips just floating at the top that I just would have to chop up and snort.
I mean, if you want to actually do something like this, we could do it where if Alex Smith ends up staying, we have to get like an Alex Smith hat or something.
I have to keep making these ridiculous statements until I make one that is so plausible that I have to eat a hat.
I mean, you're the one that wants those good retweets.
Oh, God, I want those good retweets. Oh. That's why I'm so hungry. I haven't had any good retweets today.
Charlie says, Patrick Mahomes doesn't start game one, you have to eat an Alex Smith hat.
Like a game worn? Like, that sounds expensive. The funny thing is, like, the next best thing I could have done would be to have said that if the Chiefs would have lost to the Titans, but there would have been like a two hat potential in play, and I don't think my stomach could handle more than like one hat every couple of months. I've got to lay down the law somewhere. I can't be eating two hats every week. That's unhealthy. Also, I'm not going to buy a panini press if I don't have to. It sounds expensive. Like, it would probably be a great investment, but it sounds like it would be expensive. We have some more questions about, I have some questions from Sam about Alex Smith in the Facebook comments. And my mom says also that they still use tongs in childbirth. So shows what you know, beards. Also gross.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
What was that? What was that from?
I think that was from our Clippers-Rockets discussion about the secret tunnel. And you were just doing your best to derail the segment, so
that's
you decided to blow
my
your nose.
Okay, good. Sam said in the comments, Arizona or Cleveland or for Alex Smith. Also, sadly, Bortles probably played just good enough to take the Jags out of the Alex Smith trade market. I do not think that he did. I think he did for some fans and for a lot of analysts, apparently. And now listen, I do not want to try to act like I've got the monopoly on good football analysis in the world. But there are sometimes I hear people say things about NFL games and players, and I just wonder how they got to where they are, because some of it is so dumb and lazy. I don't even, like, this isn't veiled to anyone in particular. Charlie and I were driving back from Lawrence covering the KU game on Saturday, and there were just some dudes on ESPN radio talking about, like, how Blake Bortles had a lot to win on Sunday or whatever, and how he could change his fate or whatever. And I just started giving, Charlie, I need to apologize. I started giving Charlie just an explicit version of this show where I was just screaming about Blake Bortles for, like, 15 minutes because the takes were so dumb. Anyway, I don't think that Tom Coughlin is that dude. I'm pretty sure that he sees that his offense is being held back by Blake Bortles. Now, it'll also be held back to some extent by Alex Smith. This offense is held back by Alex Smith and to some extent. It's also held back by some extent to Andy Reid. It's about finding your best options. So I think the Jags and the Browns and Arizona, and, you know, if the Giants want to do something else, maybe the Giants. If Washington loses Kirk Cousins, maybe Washington. I think there are places still. The Bills seem to be over Tyrod Taylor. I think there are plenty of places where Alex Smith could be an upgrade. Realistic options. We did this last week. I can't remember what the number was. We ended up with like five options at least for teams that were realistically in the market for Alex Smith. I think we wrote off one. And
I
then
think we ended up saying
Kirk
it was like
Cousins.
A quarter of the league between yeses and maybes.
Right. And no, that actually, you're right. That was exactly what it was, because it was eight teams. I think we had eight teams.
Yeah, I think that's
and
right.
And then we wrote off, like, said, so, you know, okay, Kirk Cousins goes somewhere. Somebody says they don't want in at all, and someone else, you know, sticks with their current bad quarterback. All right, we still have five teams in that consideration. So I think the Jags are still on that list. They certainly should be, and I mean that. I would say that if I was in Jacksonville right now, or if I was a Jags fan or whatever. I cannot do more Blake Bortles. Okay, I think that's going to conclude our football conversation for the day, probably. But Beards, I wanted to tell you something that Charlie and I had discussed. We've talked about ways that we can, how this show finds sponsors that fit the show and how people find the show that want to sponsor on the show and everything.
Okay.
Advertising everything.
Craigslist.
Perfect. We'll advertise anything for $14. But I think one thing that is so confusing to me in all of media is the fact that advertisements are always boring and always during commercial breaks. Look at the Dilly Dilly thing. It's a relatively dumb thing, but it is also absolutely blown up because it became its own thing.
There's like 10 different variants of it now.
Yes. And it became its own thing. It's a hugely successful marketing campaign. Every car commercial is just a boring car commercial and it never means anything to me. So I want to do more stuff like that for this show, where I've told Charlie that I'm willing to get tased. If there's some reason that I should be tased, I would get tased. But my favorite thing that we've come up with, though, is pancake takes. And TM, 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 copyrighted. Charlie named it. I had the idea. Charlie had a great name. And the name on this absolutely matters because pancake takes is perfect. Where we go to some local brunch place that serves pancakes, and they just bring out like 25 pancakes and sit them in front of me. I eat as many of them as I can while giving the boiling hottest sports takes that I have inside my dark soul. This becomes fun content to watch. It would be fun. It would be funny. And then it's, you know, it, like we mentioned Pegas. We've worked with Pegas before. Pegas is no longer just an ad between two segments. They are a part of the content. I think this is the future. The future of advertising has to be interesting, integrated, ideally maybe funny. Pancake takes. It's the best thing that Charlie's ever come up with. You can decide if that's a high bar or a low bar to clear. I'm not going to infer either direction.
I wasn't
going to
say it.
But pancake takes, that's the future.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.